Puppy poops, doggy duty, stinkers, whatever you call them, you know you don't want to scoop it. Keep your yard clear of the mess when you call Duty Calls. Visit DODYcalls.com and we'll scoop the poop. Duty
Calls! The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always here, ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. And this indeed is the voice of the Christian resistance for a long, long time. And we're still resisting out there on this Thursday. Little Lisa, what day is it?
It's the 24th of March.
All righty, there you go. She's been waiting all day to say that, hasn't she? All righty.
Good evening.
That's Little Lisa, and she is the studio marm. She flutters and sputters, right? Okay, now, on the board, he does all the dials with a smile. No one other than the courageous Craig.
Hello, everybody.
All right, and he's a dandy. His name's Randy, and we're here with Randy Gay.
Be blessed. No stress, everybody.
Now, our special guest in the studio here tonight is, she's feisty, and she's ready to roll. She can't wait to get to Washington, D.C. She's 13th District Congressional candidate. She wants to take on the squat and go after and give them a whooping, right? And we have none other than Jan Porter.
So glad to be here. We're going to put our faith to action, Pastor. Be a doer of the word.
Faith Amen. To action, absolutely. We're going to get her done. And so it's not over with till we win. Remember going all the way back in the early days at Ohio Right to Life with Jack Wilkie. I remember one of the first things I said to him, it ain't over with till we win. And, you know, it was interesting because back then I was young, believe it or not, and Jack was the senior guy. And he said, I probably won't see it in my lifetime, but you can see it in yours. I said, let's get it done now. Let's stop. And we fought, and we really did get a lot done. But I always had a problem, Jan, with the compromise thing, with let's take what we can get now and go for the rest later. I wanted to said no compromise, period, from the word go. We wanted to end child killing right now without any exceptions. What do you think?
Well, that's what led, honestly, to the heartbeat bill effort, because we saw all the stuff we did, the parental consent and right to know and fetal homicide, even the nation's first ban on partial birth abortion. I had a hand in fact, led the charge to pass every one of those things. But at the end of the day, they still kill more than a million children a year.
I know.
Yeah, so I'll just say this, and I know you're going to go another direction here to begin with, but I'll just say this, that we have a bill that is now saving 40,000 children a year in Texas, and it just passed yesterday in Idaho. That's going to save those children. And Oklahoma has what you've just described, from conception, full protection with a civil remedy, which we believe is going to be the vehicle to actually be enforceable, as we saw in Texas. And so the end of abortion has begun, and we are not only living to see it, it is happening right now.
Right. And again, there is no other issue stronger than that of life. And that's what we're talking about. And again, You know, God throughout history has always brought the very harshest punishment on a people for killing their children. Always, okay? And we're going to start out tonight with some scripture. Randy, take me over to Isaiah 5 and read me verses 14 through 16.
Sure. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, the mighty man shall be humbled, the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness.
Now, Jan, you know, I had to sit there and I was laughing when I heard Joe Biden, when he said, it's those Russian oligarchs, those rich oligarchs. They don't care about the people, those rich Russian oligarchs. And I'm thinking here, how hypocritical can you possibly be? Okay, and you have today in this country, the entire, used to be called Democrat, I call it the Deathocratic Communist Party out there today. They're a party of death. They are a party of, if in fact, and I had always said that if they could invent a new sin today, they'd have it in their platform tomorrow, okay? And they come up with some new ones. I was surprised. They did come up with some new ones. Okay, so anyhow, when you look at this and you look at the ones that are leading, I mean, adamantly pro-death leading that, it's the women in the Congress. And here I just had an article here I might get to tonight from that Hollywood actress. I'll get to her because she just came out and with a lot of hatred towards pro-lifers. She called us some very bad names, and I'll get to her. You know who I'm talking about when I read her. I don't watch many movies, so. But anyhow, we're going to get to that. Here, again, you have all of these rich oligarchs out here. All of them.
You're talking about the ones that run for Congress and get rich? Is that what you mean?
Just yeah. Checking. You know, there was a guy named Harry Truman, and he said that anytime someone who goes into politics and gets rich in office, you can bet they're a crook. Mm-hmm. Okay. But boy, he was right, wasn't he?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's one of the things we need to fight. And that's it. I mean, I was talking about just earlier today about what our founders did to get our country going, to give birth to America. They fought tyranny, and they gave their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honors. And how many that get to Washington, they make all the platitudes. They'll give you all the promises and all the things that we think we want to hear, and then they get there, and they trade them off for a committee chairmanship or a committee assignment of their choice for the perks and all the payoffs. And I mean, we were given this country freely, and we're on the precipice of losing it. And that's really why I'm running, because we cannot wait to find out if these candidates actually mean what they say. And I've learned in this heartbeat battle, as you know, Pastor, the last 10 years, I was on your show talking about how I was running against the Senate president. That wasn't a lot of fun, but it was worth it.
And boy, what they did to you, unbelievable. And
yeah, it was not fun at all. $1.3 million slander job, but guess what? We have 14 states that passed heartbeat laws. All those are arrows that are on their way to the Supreme Court to deliver the fatal blow to the heart of Roe versus Wade. And what we discovered along the way was a way to get this thing enforced. I had the privilege of recruiting the Texas Heartbeat Bill sponsor. That's and helped to draft that thing, which has the civil penalties, which the court has reviewed four times, the Supreme Court four times. The Texas Supreme Court's reviewed it. And guess what? They don't have the votes to overturn it. That means for 9 out of 10 babies, we have protected every child whose heartbeat can be heard is protected in Texas, soon to be protected now as it goes into effect in Idaho, and Oklahoma may be next. So it's exciting to see there was a price to be paid. And I told somebody today, I said the people in Idaho that passed this bill, they passed it, and it's wonderful, but they didn't pay the price to pass it. You know what I mean? It took some toil to get through the rocky soil of this for 10 years until all the naysayers who said it could not be done, you heard them, And now it's once you've broken through the brick wall, it's a whole lot easier to follow through. And that's really the message. We need people who are pioneers that will go forward and fight when the fighting is not easy, when they say it can't be done. Because I believe the state of Ohio model, because Jesus was the one who said it, that with God, all things are possible. And I want to introduce a lot of people who think that it's impossible to get our government back. I want to introduce them to the God of the impossible, just as we did throughout this country with the heartbeat bill.
Amen.
Yes. Randy, read me Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 34.
Jeremiah 2, 34? Okay. Mm-hmm. Rolling over there right now.
There he goes. Now, this verse describes perfectly some of your opponents, those opponents that you're going to be having, okay?
Okay.
And does he have the speaker on? So can you hear?
I can hear just fine.
Everything good, yeah, okay.
Okay, and also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocents. I have not found it by secret search, but upon all these.
So he's talking to these wicked, unclean women, and he's telling them that within their skirts he found the blood of the innocents, the babies that they've killed. And he said, he's telling them he didn't have to look upon their hearts. It was by their own mouths they condemned themselves. Does that describe what we have there?
It does.
Perfectly,
it does.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, they're not just describing it. They're proclaiming it. They're declaring it. They're celebrating it. The killing of children, and it's something that somebody needs to stand against, and not just stand against, do something against this assault. I mean, how many years have we been told that they're going to defund Planned Parenthood? How many times when the Republicans had the majority, they didn't do what they said they were going to do?
Do you remember the other night, a couple of weeks ago, we were at the Lincoln Fund dinner?
Yeah.
And they asked me to open in prayer.
Yeah.
Do you remember what I said about when I prayed to ask God to send us statesmen and not politicians? We are so fed up with being betrayed by rhinos.
Yeah.
We are so tired. We work hard. We send them to Washington. And then they betray us, okay?
And then Frank LaRose, who voted against the heartbeat bill, our current Secretary of State,
was
got
sitting
up
right to my left. Yeah.
Well, he stood up and he was talking about the Lord and how we can kneel for the Lord and stand for the pledge and asking for prayer. And I thought, you phony. You know, how dare you pretend to use Christianese and go down to Columbus and vote to kill babies? I was appalled at that. And honestly, it was tough to take, because there's a lot of people who've been fooled by that kind of rhetoric. And this is what we saw for the last 10 years. They come to all these meetings and they tell you what you want to hear. And then they go to Columbus or they go to Washington and they do whatever they please. And we just have to do our homework. We've got to actually do due diligence and say, I'm not just going to take somebody at their word. I want to know what they've done, because actions mean nothing. Excuse me, words mean nothing. Actions are really the only way to tell who is the real from the rhino.
Absolutely. And so we've got something very interesting coming up. Now, we're living in a different time altogether. I remember when you talk about being betrayed, I was there with Ohio Right to Life when we made our mission statements. Right there in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And to think that they would fight us on the heartbeat bill.
Was their mission statement, Pastor, was it to regulate abortion, or did they their mission statement to end abortion? I'm not clear by their actions.
Their mission statement was very clear that they would support all pro-life legislation. All pro-life. Okay?
And they fought the heartbeat bill for 8 long years. And when after testifying against the bill, lobbying against the bill, calling for the veto, not once but twice, and getting it, they then ran to the front of the parade and pretended like it was their idea. It's really quite interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. In fact, there's a whole chapter in my book, A Heartbeat Away, about the enemy within. There's a reason why the killing continues. It's because of us. It's because of people that claim to be on our side that are not. And I don't know if it's just to keep the money going and keep killing kids so you can keep making money. But I'll tell you what, I remember being legislative director of Ohio Rights to Life. I used to like daydream. I used to fantasize about the time one day I'm going to be able to do something different. And you know what? We're going to end abortion. And you know what? All the people who said it can't be done, some of them, even 20 years ago when I first pitched this idea for a heartbeat bill, got red in the face and, you know, beat me down and said, can't be done. And you're just a kid out of college. And what do you know? And, you know, we're the experience. We've got all of the legislative strategy figured out. And guess what I learned? I learned that the way of the establishment, the legislative strategy that they have been clinging to has left us with 62 million dead children, and it's time we do something different. And that's where the heartbeat bill came in. And I want to say this, though, it's not just about life. If we can end abortion, we can get our country back. We can stop this. I mean, we can introduce something that's not been discussed, like a balanced budget instead of, you know, the $1 trillion bailouts and secure the borders and all the things we talk about. What if actually somebody would actually put their faith to action and do something that they say can't be done.
See, that's one of the problems, and I can tell you this. You know, first of all, let me just say this. Sally Field was the woman I was thinking of here. Hmm. She just recently came out and condemned pro-lifers. She called us full of hate, and the reason was when she had her first opportunity to star in a movie, Gidget, the TV series from years, she was pregnant, and she had to go have an abortion, and people were condemned. So she, you know, Sally Field is about Sally Field. And Sally Field is overprivileged, unthankful, ungrateful. And, you know, I tell you, Sally Field, if I were to run into you now, you would get God's word, the Bible, until your hair caught on fire. Because,
well, you know what? A lot of people, they're living in hurt and they're living in a lot of denial. And in order to legitimize essentially what they've done, and we've heard him testify in the Ohio legislature over and over again that they killed their child for this job. And they're trying to make that okay. And it's nothing you say is going to make that okay. And a lot of pastors are silent on this because they don't want to poke a wound. But here's the deal. There's a lot of wounded people that are sitting in pews that are even staying away from churches. What they need to understand that that this is a sin, but once you repent of the sin, that's when the healing comes, so that you get rid of the wound and you can actually not have an entrance way for the enemy. Someone told me once, how does a fly kill an elephant? I said, how's that? He says, well, he gets in an open wound and the fly creates infection and disease and kills the elephant. And they told me one time, they said, when people betrayed you, Jan, what do you feel when I mention this person's name, one of my best friends who you know very well, what do you feel? I said, well, I feel pain. And they said, well, that's not acceptable. Warriors can have scars, but they can't have wounds. And that's what we've got to do, is heal those wounds, clean them out with the blood of Christ, forgive and be restored. And I think that the women that are the most effective voices are the ones who've been there. And so we pray for Sally Field. And, you know, we pray that God would reveal that to her so that she could be a powerful voice against what this establishment put her through. They said, if you want your job, then kill your child. That never should have been an option. She should have been able to say, no, I'm not going to do that. And, you know, you can work your camera angles like they do all the time and make it so that I can have a job and have a baby. It's so I just think that there's a lot of wounded people who need healing. And
Jen, even female animals, a mother grizzly bear will fight a male bear twice her size to the death to save her cubs.
Mm-hmm.
A female lion will try to defend her cubs against a male lion that will kill him if he knows it's not his, okay? And yet, you know, even animals know that they are to defend the unborn. That used to be the safest place in the world was in the womb, and today it's not.
Most dangerous.
It is the most dangerous. But another point that you made there was, Bible teaches very clearly, doesn't stutter, judgment begins in the house of the Lord, and it begins in the pulpit. And again, no place has our Lord been more dishonored than from the pulpit. Pastors are supposed to have courage. They're supposed to be bold. Proverbs 28:2 says, the righteous are as bold as lions, and they have failed God there. They haven't been bold. They've, you know, they're 501c3. They were so afraid of losing that. There's just been a total lack of courage. And that's, and I remember, you're too young to remember, but I remember back in the early 60s, 60, 61, 62, when this teaching came over from this German Enlightenment movement, where they started teaching in the seminaries here that the pastors needed to get in touch with their feminine parts, you see. And I thought, you know, I don't think I got a feminine part here, okay?
It sounds a little bit like the Supreme Court judge they're interviewing, where she doesn't even know what a woman is. That's what a Harvard education will get you, and the woke agenda, where you saw the hearings where yeah. She didn't know what a woman was. She doesn't know when life begins. She just can't tell you. I'm not a biologist, she says, really. Wow. That's something.
Now, we talked about that last night. We discovered what a woman was last night. We found out they came from man. They were made from the rib of a man. And listen to this. Women are the ones that have babies. And guess what? We found this out, too. There's never been a woman that has had given birth to anything other than a baby human.
Wow. How about that's profound, isn't it?
It is.
You know, it's funny because we were sitting in the hearing for the heartbeat bill in the legislature. And there is a woman dressed up like a man playing the role, and so here she's taking the hormones and you know, trying to look masculine, and she's standing up saying how he had an abortion. And I'm thinking, you can't have it both ways there, lady. You know what I mean? You're pretending to be a man, but men don't have wombs. I'm sorry, you can say it any way you want, but that's biology 101. And it's like this great big game of pretend, and somebody needs to stand up and say the emperor has no clothes. Somebody needs to understand this is absurd. It's ridiculous. And yet that's their agenda, where we are now in a place where a Supreme Court nominee can't admit what a woman is, and says she doesn't know, because in fact Ted Cruz was saying, well, listen, what if I feel like an Asian American today? Do I have standing in this case? You know, they're so caught up in their agenda that it's so nonsensical that I don't even know how they say it with a straight face. I really don't.
Well, you know, again, it's insanity out there today when you're talking about this. Just like, okay, here. There was a time, and I remember this, where if you were going to be a nominee, it would be on your qualifications in as far as what you have done as a judge. And it had nothing to do with your color of your skin. Now, you see, when you choose somebody because of the color of their skin, this is what you have just done, you have just committed a racial act.
Exactly right.
That is racism, okay? And so here, what do we want? Now, next time, we've got to have an Oriental, because there's no Orientals on that court. Mm-hmm. But I think we got to kind of combine some things. So it's got to be an Oriental Baptist. Got to be an Oriental Baptist. I mean, that would be...
A female Oriental Baptist.
Or someone that identifies as a female Oriental Baptist.
Sure, that's exactly right. Yeah.
I mean, you just, when you think about the lunacy, you know, what you talked about, that she didn't know what a woman was. Do you know where that come from? The AMA. The AMA has come out and said that there will no longer be gender on the birth certificates because they don't really know what gender is.
Joe Biden knew. That's why he chose her, and he made it clear. I'm choosing. We need a woman. We need an African-American. He sought for that category, and you get what you get.
Well, but he missed the mark.
Here's Joe Biden trying to kiss that little boy there. There's a picture of him trying to kiss a little boy.
Oh, my.
But that don't look good, does it?
No, it does not, and it's not on the cheek.
No.
Joe Biden missed the mark on choosing an African-American woman because Kamala Harris is not an African-American woman.
Well, you know...
She's not.
Poor Kamala, she's kind of really upset because she's upset that when she comes into a room, people don't stand up for her. And she thinks because when she walks into a room and she walks into the White House, they should stand up, but they don't. Breaks my heart.
Yeah, they typically stand up for ladies, I know. And so, there you have it. I don't know, except some of her speeches are just riveting, though. Did you hear the one on the passage of time and the passage of time? And we have to lay down the cable and the wiring it's nonsensical. I mean, they're even talking about it in the Democratic circles that this woman, you know, she's almost as incoherent as her boss.
As her boss, that's exactly.
Well, here's one of the things that really got me when she was talking over there with a representative from the war zone in the Ukraine. Oh, it was the Polish president. The Polish president, she was talking. Right.
Talking about refugees.
Yeah, right. And she was talking, and they were talking about how many people were being killed and how Poland was going to be there and help with supplies.
She couldn't stop laughing about it.
Yeah, she says, a friend indeed, a friend in need is a friend indeed, and laughed.
Mm-hmm.
She was laughing about people getting killed.
Yeah.
That's not smart, okay? And so we're going to have... We're going to switch and do Sue here, and then we're going to get back. Randy, you get ready to read. I'm going to have you start off. Is she there? All right. Sue, are you there?
Hi, Pastor Ernie. This is Sue Gifford.
How are you doing, young lady?
I'm doing great tonight. Thank you.
Okay. We have you on here tonight with Jan Porter. It's also in the studio with us tonight, along with the crew. And... we were going to, we're going to start out with a little bit of scripture here, and then we want you to tell us all about Agape Christian Academy and what's happening on April 8th. So, Randy, would you read that from Deuteronomy chapter 6? Would you read me verses 4 through 8?
Sure. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thine soul, and with all thine might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be a frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates.
So let me ask you this. When I was young and I was growing up, I went to a public school, and in that public school, we started every morning with a prayer that came right out of the loudspeaker. We opened up with a prayer, and then after that, in the homeroom we were in, that teacher said another prayer. We started out with prayer. Now, we don't expect to get much of that in the public school system today. They don't really seem to have much of a regard for God, do they?
No, God is not welcome in our public school system, and prayer is not welcome in our public school system. There was a time when the Bible was actually a textbook in our public school system, but that is not the case today.
It's not, and it was a time, too, I remember in the judicial when they would swear it off, the judge would come out, and he would have a white towel, and on that white towel he would have a King James Bible open. And they would come out, and they would take their oath off of that, but the judge would carry it and give it to the bailiff, okay? Because there was then God's word, okay, was sought in the public in the judicial system today. Again, the Bible says that all nations that forget their God will be turned into hell, and that's exactly what's happened in America today. But we're going to do all we can to bring that back. Randy, read from Proverbs 20, verse 11.
Sure, I sure will.
Now, here, this is very, very important, especially today, because, you know, these kids, we have such a high suicide rate. I would hate to be a young person in a public school today when these people of authority tell you, well, you may think you're a boy, but you're really a girl in a boy's body, or you're really a boy in a girl's body. And the kids are confused. And I remember when we were growing up, back in Sue, remember the day when kids you had, if boys were effeminate, they called them sissy. Or if girls were more tomboyish, you know, they called them tomboys. But they grew out of it. If they were just left alone, they would grow out of it, okay? And we had a girl in a class, and she could whip just about every one of the boys. And when she grew up to be very pretty, very feminine, okay? And so, that was what we called natural and normal. Randy, go ahead and
sure. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure or whether it be right.
And so today, I feel so sorry for the kids out there. Now, in Agape Christian School, and I remember when you guys got started, I was... in there with you 110% because we needed a good Christian school. And so why don't you tell the folks about Agape Christian School and what you have coming up on April 8th?
Sure. Well, on April 8th, our school is hosting a spring banquet. It's one of our two major fundraisers for the school year. And Pastor Ernie, I just want to let your listeners know that Agape Christian Academy was founded as a non-chartered, non-tax-supported school. That means we don't take any tax dollars, no government money, which then gives us the freedom to teach everything from a biblical perspective. And so all of our curriculum comes, it's a Christian curriculum, and it's all taught through the lens of God's Word. And on April 8th, that evening, we're having one of our two major fundraisers to help support the school, and our featured speaker that evening is Mark Gregston. Now, some of you may recognize that name because Mark Gregston is on WCRF on Saturday mornings at 8:30, and he's host of Parenting Today's Teens. And Mark's well known for the advice he gives on how to raise young people today in this culture because his advice comes from a biblical perspective. And so we just really believed he was a great choice considering all of the things our young people are dealing with today. That event's going to be held at New Promise Church in Kirtland on April 8th. And if anyone's interested in tickets, they can go to our website at agapeca.com. That's agapeca.com, and all that information is there. But, you know, Pastor Ernie, you were talking about the suicide rate today and sexual identity. These are just two of the many issues our teens are facing. I mean, it's hard to have self-worth when you were told that you evolved from the muck and the mire, when we know for a fact that God created us in His image. We are valuable to Him, and that makes us valuable, and He has a plan for our lives. So when students are taught from that perspective, they understand then how valuable they are in the eyes of God and that they're here for a purpose. Or, you know, sexual identity. God created us, male and female. It's very clear in Genesis. We don't choose. God decided. And when we start doubting that, we're saying, did God make a mistake? No, God makes no mistakes. We're men and we're women. We're males and we're females. That's just two of the many issues that our students deal with. But when you look in the Bible, the truth is there for them. They can see what God had intended, and they don't have to believe the lies that they're hearing from their friends or other people.
Well, you know, when I was in second grade, if you were to come in and ask me to point out the girls, I could point out every single girl in that class. And all the boys, they didn't even have to be naked. I could tell when they were fully dressed, okay, the difference between the boys and the girls. Today, you've got critical race theory, okay? And, you know, I'll tell you what, if you're a white boy or white girl, you should go home and blame your parents for that, right? I mean, this is racism being taught. Okay, by those people professing to be anti-racist. It's amazing what has taken place. I mean, even Coca-Cola said we should try to be less white. So I tried to drink less Coke. I don't drink any. I've banned
Coke. There's another one, though, Pastor Ernie. God said it's one race, one blood. You know, we are all here from Adam and Eve. We all descended from Adam and Eve. None better than the other. We're all created in God's image. So this whole issue of better than, less than, it's just not a biblical perspective.
So you're saying all lives matter, right?
Everything. They matter to God,
yeah.
And that's what matters.
And you're absolutely right. And so, you know, here again, if you take a look at that, so you take no government funds. You teach, well, here's what it says in Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. And that's what you try to do there. And this is why I like Agape Christian Academy so much, is because the teaching and the teachers there, again, it's so different. And I really feel sorry for the children in the public school system today. You know, going all the way back, I was one of the pioneers in Ohio starting with the homeschooling back in the early 70s. And myself and a woman named Martha Lippitt, who the ACLU got after her, she actually had a one-room schoolhouse with the Ten Commandments on the wall and a Bible on her desk, and they got after her. She contacted me. We started promoting homeschooling, and it grew in Ohio. It really grew, and I think we have got to take America back. As far as I know, Sue, I know some Christian schools have closed, but there's an average of about three Christian schools opening every day in this country. And that is good news.
We saw this year many Christian schools saw their greatest increase in enrollment that they've seen in years. And I think part of that comes from the fact that when schools were shut down because of the shutdowns for COVID, I think parents started to see what their children were actually learning. And I think many of them were shocked to see what had gotten into the schools, into the public schools, and they were looking for other options. And Agape is a great option because everything our students are going to learn is going to be from a biblical perspective. We have great academics, and our teachers are all Christians. They're going to love our students, and they're going to want them to help understand God's plan for their life. And you know, we're training up the next generation of leaders there. Christian leaders who are going to work hard to glorify God in their lives no matter what profession they choose, because every profession provides the opportunity to minister to people and to really help people see God's purpose.
You know, it's so much harder, too, you know, for the children. I know going all the way back to the early 70s, I was telling people, if you love your children, get them out of the public school. If you love them, get them out. And I was being criticized, and I was being criticized by pastors actually saying, well, how are we going to reach the children in the public school if our children don't go in and witness to them? And I told them, no, you don't understand. All of the authority figures do not believe what you believe. Your children will be the ones that are changed, and that's exactly what happened. Their children, and I have so many people. I remember one day I had two women call me, and one day telling me how they had wished they had listened and never let their kids go to a public colleges. They sent them off to public colleges, and they lost all of their faith. You know, it was totally taken out of them. And that's Jan. You can jump in because Jan wrote a book. She made a movie, a CD, and in that CD was talking about marriage. And it's very difficult for the children today because so many of them come from one single parent homes. Just it's really hard for the children coming from a single parent home today. And in that, and I remember, Jan, it was something because I had shown this film in our church to some of the women who were Tea Party women who came and...
You showed my film, you say?
I sure did.
Light Wins, How to Overcome the Criminalization of Christianity.
That's right. But where it come to... Now, these women were patriots, but they've changed because I preached them heaven sweet, hell hot. But they were offended about, women being submissive to their husband, okay? Well, not all of them. Actually, just the one got up and said, you know, she didn't care for a woman to be submissive to her husband and just walked out, and the others followed. But now that's changed. Now I know all of them have come around, and it has something to do with this radio program here, okay?
Hmm.
But in that, you were talking about that, and, you know, it used to be parents cared for their children. You know, back in those days when parents were about their children, not about themselves like it is today. And children had two parents in the family. But we have a system that was out to totally destroy that. And boy, I tell you, especially if it's a one-parent home, they really do need a school like Agape, don't they, Sue?
Well, I think, you know, what we try to do is we try to partner with that family. So we walk with them through difficult times. And if it's a one-parent home, we really try to help them maneuver through trying to raise their children. But what's going to happen is their children are going to get at school the same biblical message they're getting at home. It's not going to contradict it. And I think that's so important for parents who are working hard to raise their children, you know, as children who believe God's word, they want their children to live out God's word, and so then they send them to school, and they're going to be with teachers and administrators and staff members who want the same thing. So when they see their children at school, when we see their children making bad choices, you know, we're going to help those students, and the parents are going to agree that those are bad choices, right? Don't let any unwholesome words come out of your mouth. You know, parents are going to agree, you're right, I don't want my child saying things like that. Or, you know, treat others with love. We love because God first loved us. Instead of some families who say, well, if someone's mean to you, you're mean to them back. You know, our messages are going to be consistent because they're all coming from God's word. So we're on the same page. We want the same thing for their children as they want. And that's so important. So important.
It is so important. And I can tell you this, you know, you will never find anyone like from Planned Parenthood coming to speak to the students at Agape.
No, absolutely not. In fact, we have a course called On and For a Purpose for our students in the middle school that really tries to show them that they were all created on purpose and for a purpose by God. They're all different, but that's because God's got a different call for them on their lives. And then we also are teaching them that their body is a temple. You know, God is not a prude. He has guidelines for our lives. He tells us what's right and wrong for a reason. He tells us that because he loves us and he knows what's best for us. So, you know, sexual purity before marriage, that's because he knows that's what's best for us, because he loves us. So we're trying to help our students understand that the things God says, he loves us so much, he only wants what's best for us. And he knows that, even when we don't.
And I think our society really has, in some sense, been actually targeted the young girls, even in, more so than the young boys. Today you go down to the beach in the summertime, and some of the young girls are start almost naked. I mean, what they have. They used to be, I remember growing up, if they wore the bathing suits they wear today, they would have been arrested.
Absolutely.
They would have been arrested right on the spot, okay? But today, these young girls really don't know what's wrong with that. They really don't.
They don't, and then the real shame is, you know, young men are out there, and their parents, you know, parents from godly homes don't even want their young boys going to the beaches and the pools. It's so unfair to them to be put in those situations.
Well, you know, when we were growing up, we were taught that part of becoming a man is taking responsibility for your actions. my dad taught us when we were young, we were growing up, if we were to get a girl pregnant, that we were going to marry that girl and give that baby a name and raise that child. That was being a man. That was our responsibility back in those days. And he made it very, very clear. Okay, that nothing less than that is acceptable. Today, these boys, they jump around from one woman. No responsibility. They take no responsibility. You know, I spent 45 years out there on the streets in front of those abortion mills preaching, you know, and we saved a lot of babies, about 24,000 and all that time. But and these boys have no idea about responsibility at all, just none.
Well, and, you know, it's because they don't know the truth. You know, the Bible's been taken out of schools. The things that are taught, you know, are so inconsistent with what God would want for us that why should we even be surprised that we're seeing this type of behavior? And it's sad, but it shouldn't come as a shock to us. When you take God out of the equation, here's what we have.
Well, you know, you mentioned at the beginning where they start out with a teaching, you know, the theory of evolution, which at that time was the biggest hoax ever played on America, okay? You know, it's an amazing thing to think that you could ever have a creation without a creator. It's never happened. It never can happen. It's mathematically impossible. But they started out with that idea, and today, the biggest hoax that we have going on today is this whole thing about the vaccinations, which are not vaccinations at all. They're bioweapons. I mean, they're weapons. They're meant, and Jan, that's, you know, when we remember, we took a, and our mission statement was to save all life, that we would support all. And this is murder, what they're doing, especially in the nursing homes to the elderly people out there. And in the schools, in some of the public schools, they were giving these kids the poisonous poke without their parents not even knowing, even their knowledge, okay? And so, again, I've said it. You know, when I was first telling people about if you love your kids, get them out of the public school system, and I was being attacked, and to this fellow here that Jan has in her flyer, James Dobson, come along. And then James Dobson started saying, if you love your kids, get them out of the public school system, okay? And then D. James Kennedy started saying, if you love your kids, get them out of the public school system. And then Adrian Rogers started saying, so now I wasn't such a radical, fire-breathing person. Now I started to make sense, okay? And today, more than ever today, if you love your children, get them out of the public school system. Amen?
Okay. Well, we would love to host you if you're looking for a place, a Christian school. We're in Burton, and we have another campus in Troy, and we have preschool through 12th grade at our school. And like Pastor Ernie said, we're having this dinner on April 8th, the evening of April 8th, at New Promise Church in Kirtland with Mark Gregston. It's a great way to get to know us, to get to meet some of our families. Tickets are $45 each, and you could order them on our website, which is agapeca.com. That's www.agapeca.com. Or go to our website, find our phone number, just call us or email us to learn more about the school or set up a tour. If you have children or grandchildren who you're just really trying to think, where is the best place for them this coming fall? We'd love to have you come visit and see what we could offer.
And I highly, highly, highly recommend Agape Christian Academy, folks. I really do. I know. My grandson's going there.
Yeah, we love having him there.
He's a little character. Well, Sue, I want to thank you for being here, but let me give that phone number out. They can call 440-834-8022. 440-834-8022. See, believe it or not, a lot of people don't know this, but I do because we do research. There's a whole lot of people right here in the state of Ohio that are not on the Internet. They don't even have computers in their house. They don't even have televisions in their house. It's hard to believe, huh? But there's a lot more people than you know out there. But they have telephones, and they can call 440-834-8022. Now, for you people with computers, you can go up to www.agapeca, that's agapeca.com. And folks, again, I highly, highly, highly recommend this school. It's a great school, and Sue and Russ are great folks, and I'm so glad to have them there.
Thanks, Pastor Ernie. We'd love to talk to you if you give us a call.
Well, you've always got, any time I can help you out, you let me know. You've always got an open invitation to come here.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, God bless, and you have a great day, and tell Russ I said hey.
I will. Thanks. Have a great night.
All righty. Bye now. Gee, you would really like her, Jan. I mean,
I already do.
Yeah. She's a real sweetheart there. Anyhow, I want to get back to what we were talking about in the public school and the deep state, you know, here. You know what I've got right here? I've been reading 10 names off of every day. And these are the people that lied. These are intelligence agencies that all lied about Hunter Biden's laptop from hell and the information that was on there. These are the same people involved with the Russia probe. Mm-hmm. And I've been reading their names for, you know, every day, 10 at a time. And today I'm going to read this. Chris Savehaus, former CIA senior operation officer. He lied. John Tullius, former CIA senior intelligence officer. He lied. David Vanell, former CIA senior intelligence operations officer. He lied. These are all people, okay, that lied. These are intelligence agency. Today we call them dirty cops. And are you tired of being betrayed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you remember when you had a Department of Justice, which is a separate department? It wasn't a part of the Democratic Communist Party.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And And they had some validity. Okay, there was some legitimacy there.
Mm-hmm.
Today it's as crooked and crooked gets, isn't it?
Yeah, sadly.
David Buckley, former CIA Inspector General, he lied. Nada Bacchus, former CIA analyst and targeting officer and senior fellow. Patty Brandemeyer, former CIA senior intelligence officer, she lied. James V. Bruce, former CIA intelligence officer, lied. David Karians, former CIA intelligence analyst, lied. Janice Karians, former CIA operations support officer, lied. Paul Klobe, Peter Croswell, Betty Davis, and Roger Zane George, all of them intelligence agents, and all of them lied. And there you go. I think they should get credit for what they've done, don't you?
I think they should get justice for what they've done.
Speaking of that, you know, deep state, we have the deep state. Do you think if we get enough people in Congress, and I'm hoping that we actually have a midterm election, because I know the opposition knows that there is no chance that they could ever win or even come close to that, a fair and honest election. They know that. And they know that everybody's watching them, the election fraud, which was on November 8th, 2016, the very night that Trump won. And that night on this radio program, we said the 2020 election will be you will see election fraud like you've never seen. It'll set precedent. We said it the very night that Trump won. And boy, were we right, okay? Marky Zuckerberg, $370 million given to throw the election.
By the way, someone who took that money from Zuckerberg, his name is Frank LaRose. He's running for Secretary of State, okay. Or he is Secretary of State, running again. And by the way, the guy that I endorse, he actually endorsed me as well, is John Adams. And I just wanted to point that out. When we talk about Zuckerberg money, let's talk about who took it.
All right, we have a guy that's running for governor, too. You haven't heard much about it.
Yes, his name, well, the guy that I support, his name is Ron Hood.
I know.
His running mate is Candace Keller. These were the champions of the heartbeat bill. And if it wasn't for Ron Hood, I'm just going to tell you this straight up. If Ron Hood had not been the leader of the heartbeat bill, it would have protected only 4,000 babies instead of 20,000 babies. He made it five times safer, and this is what he did. When they tried to disinvite me to a meeting in the House of Representatives, when we wanted to fix the bill that the Senate had gutted, he said, if Janet Porter is not in that meeting, there will be no meeting. And we went in there and we told them what we had to have. And when they didn't give it to us, we were ready to scream bloody murder and I was ready to have the press conference. And they called and Ron got involved. I called the governor. We got people that did everything they could. And Ron was one of them. He was the one who in the legislature was the MVP of the heartbeat bill. And that is why I support him for governor. He's one of us. If you want to judge somebody by their actions, he's the guy. In fact, you go back years before that, you go back to 1994, Ron Hood was in the legislature. I was just out of college starting to lobby, and we were passing the nation's first ban on partial birth abortion. You remember this, Pastor? Committee?
That before that, before they called it partial birth abortion, it was called brain suction abortion.
That's right.
When we first got started on that bill, but go ahead.
Yeah, so what happened was a woman by the name of Marilyn Reed took over the committee. There was a recess instead of an adjournment. They took over the committee and killed the bill. The speaker at the time was pro-abort named Joanne Davidson, ruled it to be legal, and our bill was dead. Even though we had half the House of Representatives as co-sponsors, they killed our bill. And I remember the meeting, and Ron Hood was in that meeting. It's funny because he said it was like deja vu. 20 years later, I'm testifying for the heartbeat bill, where 20 years before we were fighting for this ban on partial birth abortion. And what happened was they said it's done. There's nothing you can do. It's over. Game over. And I went, wait a minute. There's something called a discharge petition. I heard about this. And I remember a guy by the name of Bob Netsley. He had been in the legislature longer than I've been alive, and he said, they tried that in the 1970s, could never get enough signatures. And I was with Ron.
Jen, I'm going to break in because we're up against the heartbreak, so hang tight right there.
To hear the end of the story.
No, hang tight. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Puppy poops, doggy doo-dee, bombs, stinkers. Whatever you call them, you know you don't want to scoop it. Keep your yard clear of the mess when you call Duty Calls. We understand that things can pile up, and when it does, Duty Calls will be there to lighten the load. Our clean team scours your yard to remove any visible evidence of your dog's business and whisks it off to be responsibly disposed. And we do it for as little as $12 a month. Get back to enjoying your yard without fearing a squishy surprise underfoot. Because whether you call it a deuce or a doggy diamond, it's still kind of gross. Visit DODYcalls.com and we'll scoop the poop. Schedule your first cleanup now at DODYcalls.com.
When it comes time to clean that do, we'll do the dirty work so you don't have to. DODYcalls. DODYcalls. For when things start piling up, DODYcalls.
That's DODYcalls.com.